Good Lord's Day. It's good to see you all. Of course, today is Mother's Day as well. I was thinking about that and was reading of an incident with Jesus and his mother. You're familiar with it. In the Gospel of John, chapter 2, we find that Jesus and some of those, his disciples, attended a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the host were running out of wine. And Mary came to Jesus and told them of the situation. And he basically says, what do I have to do with that? And of course, the wine, you know, the big thing about that and everything. But this was grape juice, just as we had for the Lord's Supper here. Today, that you'll remember that there was a big scene about how that Jesus changed the water to wine, and the governor or the head of the feast said, this is the best, this is the best quality. But what you and I need to understand is that the best quality in Bible times was that which had not fermented, had not taken on an alcoholic content. The people in Bible times treasured fresh grape juice, and that's what they had here. But what I want us to notice here is that Mary, the mother of Jesus, turns to the servants of the feast and says to them, whatever he says to you, do it. Now, Mary wasn't their mother, but what she says to them, Mary's not our mother either, but what she said to these servants and what she says to us is good things for us to keep in mind. Whatever he says to you, do it. So I'd like for us to focus upon that statement of Mary this morning, because Mary's not the only one who said that. That statement is endorsed by none other than Almighty God, our Heavenly Father. You remember that in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5 that Jesus and Peter and John have gone up onto what we come to call the Mount of Transfiguration. He's transfigured before them, and what appears there is Moses and Elijah and Jesus in a transfigured state. And Peter is kind of beside himself and says, this is a wonderful thing. Nothing like this has ever happened. You know, what we need to do is build three tabernacles here, one for Moses and one for Elijah and one for you, Jesus. And he was interrupted by none other than our Heavenly Father and said, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him. In other words, the time has come that we're not to appeal to Elijah for our spiritual authority or to Moses for our spiritual authority. The time has come that you are to hear my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It's also endorsed by Peter. And Peter really recalling the words of Moses in Deuteronomy. In Acts chapter 3, he says to those in Jerusalem, Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up to you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatsoever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet will be utterly destroyed from among the people. Moses had foretold that another leader would arise like him, a lawgiver, one who would tell them the law of God. Peter here is saying, Jesus of Nazareth is this prophet. He is the fulfillment of what Moses was talking about. We are to hear him, whatever he says to us. And if we do not hear that prophet, we will be destroyed. Stephen endorsed these words. Whatever he says to you, do it. Again, Stephen, as he was giving a defense of his faith before the leaders of the Jews in Jerusalem, recounting their history to them, also recalls the words of Moses. Says, this is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brethren. Him you shall hear. Stephen is declaring that Jesus is this prophet that Moses was foretelling of. It is him that we are to hear. It is him that we are to follow and do whatever he says. And Jesus himself said that he was this one that we are to hear and to do whatever he says. In Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20, as Jesus is about to depart from his apostles to be with his heavenly Father, it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Whatever he says to you, do it. Jesus says, whatever I have commanded, whatever I have taught, that's what the apostles were authorized to teach. And that's what we are commanded to do. Jesus tells us to love God. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, someone had asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? To which he replied, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Love God. Of course, we can go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. We're told to revere God and to keep his commandments. We will not love God. We will not keep his commandments until we first revere God. We recognize who he is. But this commandment stands at the very top. Love the Lord your God with everything. The word love means that you're focused on others, not on self. I saw a quote, a friend, I was going to include it in my presentation this morning and it slipped my mind, but it's come to my mind now. If I can recall it, it kind of went something to the effect that rivers don't drink their own water. Flowers don't smell their own fragrance. Talk about all of the elements of creation and all of the benefits that they give to us, but those elements don't benefit from the benefits that we receive from them. And so also, God's creation of mankind was not for us to just enjoy ourselves and live for ourselves. We are to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. We are to live for God. We are to live to his glory. And we do that by doing whatever he says. That's how we let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Jesus tells us to love our neighbor. Verse 39 of Matthew 22 says, the second greatest commandment is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So we live for God. We live to the benefit of others. If we are loving God and serving him, doing whatever he says, then whatever we do, we will do it the way God instructs us to do that. In our marriage, we will treat our spouse the way God teaches us to treat our spouse. We would treat our children the way God teaches us to treat our children. We will treat our employer the way that God tells us to treat our employer. We will treat our employees the way God teaches us to treat our employees. We will be a citizen of this country that we live in the way God tells us to live as a citizen in a country. Everything that we do, we will do to the glory of God, and so we will love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Jesus would say it this way, another way. He said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat people the way you would want to be treated. Jesus also tells us to love our enemy. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, he says, you have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I say unto you, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Is there anyone who is misusing you, who is treating you in a way that you would not treat them? Jesus said, love them. Pray for them. Continue to treat them the way you would want them to treat you. And that's hard to do, isn't it? But if we want to be successful in winning a soul to Christ, saving them from an eternity of damnation and torment, of outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth, as Jesus wants to save them, then it's only going to be done by treating them as we would want them to treat us. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Jesus tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Again, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. What do you seek first? As you consider that Jesus has told us to keep his commandments. Jesus has told us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength. Do you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? In all that you say and do, in every decision that you make, that decision, is it a decision that says, this is what God wants me to do, this is what God teaches me to do? Or is it a decision that you are making and saying, well, God doesn't teach me to do this. This, in fact, is against the will of God. What are your priorities? Why would you do something God doesn't want you to do? Because God's not first in your life. He's not where he belongs. You're not loving him above everything else. And you're not going to be happy and find the abundant life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, but you might have it more abundantly. You won't find that abundant life by living for yourself and gratifying yourself and glimpses of pleasure that are found in the practice of sin. The abundant life is found in giving. As Jesus would say, it is more blessed. You are more happy giving than receiving. Give yourself first and foremost to God. Seek him first. And seek his righteousness to perform it. Jesus tells us, do not be afraid. We are living in a time, whether people want to admit it or not, but people are trying to control the citizens of this country by fear. And they've been pretty successful at it. over and over and over again, God has told us, Old Testament, New Testament, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. John chapter 14 and verse 27, just one place, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And this year we've been focusing on the fact how that we are distracted and troubled by many things when in fact one thing is needed. We've tried to stay focused on this one thing. You could say the one thing that is needed is do whatever he says for you to do. Jesus said, don't be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. When I tell you to do something, you can trust it, obey it, and don't have to doubt it, don't have to be troubled about it at all. Whatever he says to you, do it. Jesus tells us that if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Do you believe that he is the Son of God? That he is the Savior of mankind? If you don't believe on him, you will die in your sins, because that's the wages of sin. That's the price of sin, death. And he can't pay the price of your sin for you unless you first trust him and obey him. Jesus said, I tell you, unless you repent, you will perish. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and 5. Unless you repent, you will perish. Unless you turn from your way of living for yourself and gratifying yourself to living for God and to his glory, you will perish. God is not willing that any should repent, but that all should come. Or God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Are you willing to come to repentance? God's will can't save you unless your will unites with his will. To turn to him, to turn from your way of life, to walk in the paths of righteousness that he has defined for us in his word. Unless you repent, you will perish. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, Jesus says, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. Are you willing to make that confession? Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Confess him. Not just one time, but for the entirety of your life. Confess to others that you live the way that you live because you follow Christ. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You believe that whatever he says, he can do. I do not have to be troubled. I do not have to be afraid. We studied in our adult Bible study this morning how that Paul said to those on a ship that was destined for shipwreck, how that an angel had appeared to him and had told him that the ship was going to be lost, but everybody on the ship was going to be saved. We weren't going to die. He said, I believe God. I believe God. I believe what he said to me. I believe what God said to me. What he says to us right here in his word. I believe it. Don't ever be afraid to confess that you believe that Jesus, the Word of God made flesh, is indeed the Son of God and our Savior. Don't ever be afraid to share his word with others. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. You know, this is one of the the plainest statements, I think, that you find in the Bible. I mean, there's a lot of plain statements. That's one of the things we like about the Word of God. He speaks very plainly as to what he would have us to do, turn from and turn to. And it amazes me how that Satan is so successful in deceiving people into thinking that baptism isn't necessary for salvation. Well, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. Really? Jesus said you did. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. What if I believe and I'm not baptized? Is there any assurance in baptism, in salvation there? Whatever he says to you, do it. Jesus said, believe and be baptized. And people will sometimes say, well, the latter part of that, but he that does not believe will be condemned. He doesn't say he who does not believe and is not baptized will be condemned. Of course not. If you don't believe, you're not going to be baptized. If you don't believe, you're not going to pray. If you don't believe, you're not going to repent. You're not going to confess God if you don't believe. You're not going to walk the straight and narrow pathway of righteousness to eternal life if you don't believe. Sometimes I've found that some people find it easier if we just turn these phrases around and we don't do any harm to anything that Jesus says here. He has told his apostles to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who does not believe will be condemned. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Very plain. Baptism is just as essential. Hear a lot of words, essential today. Baptism is just as essential as belief. Baptism is just as essential as repentance. Baptism is just as essential as confession. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. What were they doing to be saved? What did they ask to do? When Peter had declared Jesus of Nazareth to him that he is both Lord and Christ, they asked, what shall we do? Peter, speaking as the Holy Spirit was giving him the words, answered them saying, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the remission of sins. You will receive the Holy Spirit. That's what they were doing to be saved, to be added to the body of the saved, the church. What body are you a member of? Are you a body of the saved? Have you done whatever he says to you? Are you still doing whatever he says to you? Are you doing it? In John chapter 8 and verses 31 through 32, Jesus said to those who believed on him, these are believers, these are people who are doing what he tells them to do. And he says to them, abide in my word. Continue to abide in my word. Continue to do what I tell you to do. And you are my disciples indeed. You will be my true disciples. And you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. The truth will set you free from the fear of death. You want to be afraid of something, be afraid of death. But you don't have to be afraid of death. Because there's life in Jesus. And if you're in Jesus, if you've been baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, you've been baptized into life. You don't have to be afraid of the wages of your sin. Because Jesus paid that price for you. Whatever he says to you, do it. Do you have that commitment of spirit? All your heart, all your mind, all of your strength, have you dedicated it to God to live for him? That's where true peace is found. That's where the abundant life is found. That's where everlasting life is found. And if you're here this morning and you realize you're out of Christ and you've made a decision to turn to him, turning from yourself and from your love of sinning to the practice of righteousness in your life, then we'd encourage you to be added to the body of the saved today. Be baptized for the remission of your sins and live the balance of your life in fellowship with him. If you're here today and you're a child of God and you're out of favor with him, you're a believer, you've been baptized into Christ, but you haven't been walking with him. You haven't been continuing in his word and continuing to serve him as you know that you should. Maybe you're here this morning and you've believed in Christ, but you didn't know what to believe. You hadn't studied the word for yourself. You just heard that, well, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. All you have to do is pray a prayer. Where'd they get that? Where's the scripture for that? They don't have it. It's not there. You'll never see an example of one person who was told to pray to God and you'll be saved. Obey the Lord today. Do his will. Do whatever he says to you, do it. If you're subject to the invitation this morning, would you please come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?